Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to a special edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William M. All. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Good, man. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. You know, a little older and wiser. Yesterday was my birthday, so you know.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Glad to be on the show as always, man. I'm grateful for, you know, the listeners, you know, listening, whether this is your first time listening to it or you've been, right in the grind with us ever since, 10 years ago. So, you know, I just want to thank you guys for listening to this episode. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals, and, of course, how, you know, KD's injury is going to impact the Golden State Warriors, the Raptors, obviously the Knicks and, the other teams that are, the Nets and the other teams that are after KD in the offseason, how his Achilles injury is going to affect them. Also, we're going to talk about the MLB. We had the Subway Series on my birthday. No less, I'm going to talk about that. Also going to talk about, WWE and of course the Stanley Cup Finals that just went down. So, let's just tip off with the NHL before I get into, the meat and potatoes of the show, which is, the NBA Finals. But, I got to give kudos and congratulations to the St. Louis Blues for winning their first ever Stanley Cup Finals just a moment ago. They won by the final score of 4-1. Congratulations. They stopped the Boston Bruins. From winning, I think their seventh overall Stanley Cup title. The scorers of today was Ryan O'Reilly, Alex
O'Reilly.
No, what is that? Auto parts or something?
Something like that.
Alex Pietrangelo, Jaden Schwartz. No, not Jaden Schwartz. My fault. Zach Sanford and Braden Schein, they all each scored a goal. But you also got to give extra props to O'Reilly and Pietrangelo because they both have 2 points. They both have a goal and assist, which catapulted the St. Louis Blues to their first ever title today. So again, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues winning an epic Game 7 in Boston, no less. So, again, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues,
52 years in the making. I was watching it, because there's, right now it's summertime, so there's not much on TV. But it was a pretty interesting game, The Blues got off to a fast start, 2-0 in the first two periods, and they scored two, and it was in that final period. Bruins managed to not get shut out, scored that only goal, their only goal of the game. But yeah, man, Blues, they've been playing very well since December. And, they show that, they've been a team on the rise for the last several months. And they have a rookie goalie who played phenomenal this postseason. And he played great in this game. But it's a well-deserved win. And, I congratulate them and their fan base. They deserve it, man. Their first Stanley Cup. And, Boston Bruins, they're a great team. But, You know, it's unfortunate that they couldn't win another championship for the city of Boston, but I know anyone who's not from Boston is happy right now because they're tired of seeing the city of Boston win championships. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe next year.
Yeah, the goalie, Bennington, he only allowed the goal to Matt Grzelczyk. Forgive me if I misspelled the name, but I don't think you know he's thinking about me mispronouncing his name. You know the Bruins had a great year, but unfortunately, you know, for them and their fan base, they fell short. You know.
Hey, anytime Boston loses, we all win.
I guess you won't have any arguments from non-Boston fans, you know, especially in the, you know, whatchamacallit, in the, you know, in New York, for sure. Yeah, so, they haven't, the Bruins haven't won, their drought continues. They haven't won since, you know, the 2010-2011 season. But, you know, of course, like you said, the Blues had an even bigger drought, 54 years or so. So, I mean, you know, congratulations to, to the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah,
they won't be singing the Blues tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's that city's gonna be rocking.
Nope. Again, congratulations to them. And another congratulation, I guess, shifting gears to the big story in sports, the Golden State Warriors, man, they survived one more day. They went into hostile territory. The Raptors, how hostile it was. Kevin Durant came out of out of his injury. And played, you know, he was torturing the Raptors a bit, but then he re-injured the injury and, he re-aggravated the Achilles heel. And our worst fears, especially as Knicks fans, me and you, Matt, he's going to be gone for the rest of the rest of the postseason and most likely the rest of next year, as he rehabs. And, you know, it's a tough break for him. And, you know, what was even messed up was the Raptor fans, you know, were cheering for that injury, man. I mean, I understand, you know, they wanna win by any means necessary. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, I mean, they did. I mean, after the Raptor players, you know, calmed them down and made them see reason, you know, they did, you know, some of them, they did cheer for him like KD and stuff like that. But, you know, that's crazy. You know, like, you know, my thinking is, you know, obviously I've never witnessed any of my teams win a title, but I would imagine, you know, obviously seeing a bunch of my teams, you know, go to the finals or you know, World Series, and they always come up in a losing effort. I want to see, you know, when my teams finally win again, because Lord knows all of them have been won in like at least like 30 years. You know what I'm saying? So I would imagine if they were gonna win, I don't want there to be an asterisk, you know, with the win. You know, I want all the players to be fully healthy. So when my teams whoop whatever the opponent is behind. They won't, you know, the fan base won't be like, oh, man, if my star player wasn't hurt, man, we would have beat you guys. But nope. Once they're fully healthy, what could they say when your team beat them up? You know what I'm saying? And this isn't a shot at the Raptors at all. No, sorry, Bob. This is not I'm just saying generally speaking, because the Raptors, man, they are bringing it, man. They took it to the Warriors, man. They won game one. You know, they split the series at home, you know, and then they went to the Warriors and, Golden State took took, what, a 3-1 lead. And then, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, they came home. They had a huge opportunity, man, to seal the deal in 5 games, man. And like I've always said for like the past 10 years, man, on this podcast, when you got your foot on the head of a giant, you gotta be like David, man, David versus Goliath. You just gotta get rid of that giant as soon as you can. Do not let him get up. Because if you let him get up, it's gonna be the mountain on Prince Oberyn, man. When you got a giant down like that, you gotta take him out, man. You can't play around with a giant, man. You gotta just take him out, man. And this, unfortunately for the Raptor fans, man, Kawhi Leonard has been phenomenal, man. The whole team has been firing on all cylinders, but man, that momentum, man, that momentum looked like it was going all Raptors. You know, they had Durant out, you know, their last hope of, you know, Durant trying to pull a Willis Reed, you know, coming on the court to try to, you know, keep the Warriors season alive, you know, and then he went down and all the momentum was on the Raptors' side. But man, that fourth quarter, man, the Raptors, man, they blew a 14-point lead, man, in the second half, man, and the Warriors left with the victory by the skin of their teeth. What was it, like a 106-105 victory? And I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry for the Raptor fans, you know. Usually I was rooting for the Warriors, you know, cuz you know they were, you know, they used to be the underdogs. They used to be this, you know, I mean, they're a powerful team. They usually against LeBron, so you know I was rooting for them, but now they are the Giants, man. They are the big boys now, you know. So you know I was rooting for the Raptors, you know. But I was kind of it's like I'm 50-50. It's like I'm rooting for the Raptors, but I'm also kind of rooting for the Warriors because whatever's in the best interest for KD to come to the Knicks is what I'm rooting for. You know what I'm saying? But, man, that momentum, man, shoot. They couldn't feel the deal at home like that. All the momentum. Jurassic Park, man. All the Raptor fans, like, cheering. It was the greatest day of their lives, man. And then, like, as a Knicks fan or all the teams I root for, man, the end of the game, man, it's like a totally different, you know, outcome. And I think they lost the momentum, man. I think if Warriors win game 6, they're winning game 7. That's just the bottom line, man. What do you think?
Well, it was definitely a blown opportunity by the Raptors. I mean, they were up 3-1 in the series. You have a chance to close out this series at home, and you fail to do it, especially when, you know, KD comes back for the Warriors and he, you know, re-injures himself and then he has to leave the game. And KD was killing it. I have to commend him. You know, he was brave enough to step back on the court, even though he knew he wasn't 100%. And, you know, he that was a gutsy thing for him to do. So I commend him for that. But, yeah, having him go out and after, you know, shooting well early on in the game, and, you know, you would think that, okay, the Raptors now, they're definitely going to win this game, you know, but they don't seal the deal, you know. Yep. Even when they got that lead in the fourth quarter and looked like they were going to cruise to a win, you know, they end up blowing that game and possibly this series. So they have at least 2 more chances to win this series, you know, but it's going to be tough going back to Oracle winning that game against the Warriors. This could go down to game 7 possibly, you know.
Yeah.
I still have a good feeling that Raptors can win it, you know, but again, the Warriors are the defending champs, so you can never count them out. So right now, anything can happen.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. Like, anything is possible, but that momentum is it was like night and day. You know, everything was on the Raptors' side, man. The Raptor fans were feeling it. You know, KD was out. The Raptors had this huge lead at home. You know, they took game 1 in you know, at home, and then they had a chance to close it out at home in front of their fans. First time, a team that's not an American team would have won the title. And then at home, like, come on. Like, that they had that moment. And then that momentum was just, the Warriors, man, they went to work. They came out to play, man. They came out to play. Shoot.
They definitely did.
Just like that 79 film, man. They came out to play.
Yeah.
Oh, they was not playing, man. They could not be contained, man. And
Curry and Klay Thompson were shooting 3 points from all over the place. So
hopefully
they can continue that into tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, man, it was like NBA Jam or NBA Hangtime, man. They could not be stopped. They were on fire, man. I don't know if you saw it, man. They were like, if you saw the replay,
yeah,
they were
watching the whole game.
They were on fire, man. They were on fire. I don't know how they. I don't know if you saw it on TV, but they were literally on fire. They almost called the firefighters to put them out, but not even the Raptors could. So that's the deal, man. So I think obviously the Raptors. They still have the advantage. Obviously, a 3-2 advantage. But if they lose tomorrow night, you might as well just hand Golden State the Larry Bryan Trophy again. Because it hasn't been going anywhere for the past almost 3 years. If Warriors can win tomorrow night and in the Game 7, so.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be a classic. It's already a classic already. But yeah, we're definitely gonna see what happens with that. And then with the injury of KD, man, I gotta ask you this question: Should the Brooklyn Nets, should any of these aforementioned teams, Clippers or Lakers or whatever, should they still pursue? If you were Scott Perry, as the GM of the Knicks, would you still go sign and try to attempt to sign KD, even though you know you're not going to have him for the upcoming season?
As of right now, no, because you don't know if he's still going to be the same player that he was before the injury, and you don't know how long he's going to be out. Also. You don't know what you're getting now from KD, you know, so it becomes a risky sign if you do sign him. I don't know. I wouldn't touch it right now. I would just try to save the money that they have in the salary cap and, you know, try to, I don't know. The Anthony Davis thing, I mean, right now Pelicans are asking for too much trade for him. So that might not happen. So Knicks might just have to save that money for next season, or maybe sign a free agent this season, but not give them the max.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like
and Kimber then,
Walker.
Yeah, and just try to build. You know, continue building for the next several years. You know, you don't have to sign two max players. You could use the money in other ways. You know, you don't have to sign two max players. You could just continue building, and you know, if Kawhi is available, I'd say go after Kawhi. The guy that could, you know, be a building piece for our team. So that's possible. But if not him, then just save the money.
I'm with you, but I'm just saying, like, man, Kevin Durant is out there, man. Like, if he doesn't opt in, just like Kyrie Irving is expected to opt out of his Celtic contract. He's opting out of the contract, so he's officially going to be a free agent. I know Knicks have a history of signing guys damaged goods, and they got, especially Antonio McDyess, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of horror stories of signing, you know, play. I mean, obviously Kevin Durant is not an aging player. He's like, what, 30 years old or so?
Yeah.
You know, but I might regret it, but I think you gotta pull that trigger to get a guy like that. You don't want him to go to an opposition and he does fully get healthy. Yeah, the odds of him getting, you know, coming back fully healthy and on fire is like slim to none. I mean, you'd probably have to give this guy 2 years to bounce back to the way he used to be. And that's by a miracle if his injury isn't a career-threatening injury. As of right now, it looks like he's just going to be out for the year, you know. But with stuff like ankle, you never know.
Well, Achilles, it's not good. You know, players that aren't the same when they come back, you know. Most recently, yeah. Kobe Bryant, you know, they aren't the same, you know. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You don't know what you're going to get from this guy when he does come back. And it's a risky move, and you don't know how long he's going to be out either. So, as of right now, I would not do it, you know. I just
yeah.
want it.
I hear you, man. I mean, it's a valid point. Like, my head is saying, like, you're right, man. You're 100% right. But my, like, I don't know. That guy, man, like, I don't know if it's my gut or if it's my heart. Like, you want like, arguably the best guy on the, you know, in the game, like, on your team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a risk. It's a huge risk because he's hurt. You don't know if he'll ever return back to form, the form he used to be.
It's a huge risk.
Yeah, but I'm with you. Like, I don't think that I've been, you know, like back and forth when it comes to the training for Anthony Davis. I think they should stay packed, man, and try to get him in the off season. You know, I know Knicks is after him. Celtics are after him, even though he narrowed down the teams to Knicks and Lakers. But yeah, I with my heart of hearts, I strongly think he's gonna go to LA. He's gonna get traded to LA, or even sign with LA anyway. So
it's looking like that, you know, because right now that we'd have to give up a lot to get him. It's not worth it, man, especially for a guy who has been injury prone. But you know, he's one of the great players in the NBA when he is healthy, but
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give up my whole team for him, and then you're going to have to rebuild again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We got to stop rebuilding. Like, stop. We're rebuilding right now, and then we're going to have to get the games and then rebuild again.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, man. He's going to be a free agent, like, next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, Durant is even if we do get Durant to come here, he's not gonna be able to play. There's no point of having AD. You might as well just let him come as a free agent. Like you said, right. We don't have to spend all our money. You know, we gotta be smart. We gotta be smart this time. I mean, you know, Perry was one of the people that were instrumental of you know, drafting Durant to Seattle. You know, his rookie season. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a tough pill to swallow because you're gonna have to give Durant $30-something million just to sit on his behind and pick up a paycheck. I mean it won't be worse than Jerome James when he literally made $5 million for five minutes the entire season. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Knicks have a history of signing players with injury.
Antonio McDyess.
Yeah.
Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, it's definitely not. History is not on our side. And as a Mets fan, I know that all too well with the second basemen, you know, Roberto Alomar. I'm trying to think. There's a bunch of horrible second basemen. And then right now, I mean, Robinson Cano is hurt, man. You know, he hasn't been producing. I mean, so he might be on that list, you know, if he doesn't come back, because he was supposed to same thing happened with KD. He recently came off the DL or the IL as it's now called, and on the same game he re-injured himself and he's back on the DL. So IL. So, you know, we're gonna see what happens, but. You know, the bigger news is that, you know, the Mets are playing a lot better. What was I going to say? Monday night, you know, the Subway Series game got rained out. So they had a split doubleheader. Game one, No surprise there. The Yankees just they just whooped the Mets behind, man. I mean, the only thing that was surprising was that Wheeler got his butt kicked. I mean, I would have thought Wheeler would have had a more dominant outing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he wouldn't be I couldn't imagine him being a tough luck loser, but you know, at least he would have showed up, man, because like, I mean, at first he was throwing hard, 99, 100, and then it just looked like he was getting fastball happy, man, and you know, shoot, the guys are really whooped his behind. You know, in that game, I think what was it, Urshela went deep, Gary Sanchez, like I think late in the game, that Gary is Gary. he went deep, of course, again, I think for his 20th. I'm trying to remember who else. I think
Luke Voit.
Luke Voit. I mean, I think he had the big home run of the game, if I'm remembering right. So, yeah, it's the usual suspects for the Yankees, man. You know, they just whooped the Mets behind that game one. And, you know, Tanaka got the victory against Wheeler. The final score was 12-5. I think. Yeah, I think it was 12-5.
Yeah.
And then game two, I went to a play, that my friend, one of my friends produced, it was a great play. So I wasn't able to see game two. So when I came back, I saw the highlights. And this was the game I should have watched in game one, man. Into game one, because Jason Fargis, man, a dude who was 0-6 with an ERA almost 7 against the Yankees. And everybody knows I am not the president of the Jason Fargis fan club since the past couple of years. Even before he put on the Met uniform, because he was briefly a Met in 07. But or was it 08? I can't remember. But I didn't want them to sign him as a free agent. You know, I wanted them to sign Bartolo Colon, or I forgot what the veterans was out there at that time. Arrieta. You know, one of those guys. You know, to sign one of those guys. But you know, they didn't, unfortunately. But and then of course, you know, he had that horrible year last year. He was injured, missed the first part of the year, came, he started the pitch, he was horrible. He was the worst pitcher I've ever seen in my life. And then, towards the second half of last year when, you know, the Mets was way out of it, he started the pitch a little better. Then the start of this year, he was horrible again. You know, if it was me, I would have cut him. But sure enough, man, this guy, what was it, the last 8 starts or so, his ERA has been under 2. And not too long ago, maybe two or three starts ago, he had a complete game shutout. So, you know, he's been making me look stupid, and I love it, you know. And, yesterday on my birthday was a huge test because, I was afraid, man. I thought Jason Fargis was going to return, but you know, he turned the page, man. He's officially on my birthday, June, and Jose Reyes' birthday, by the way, too. He officially became a New York Met because he went to Yankee Stadium. I think he gave up 3 runs, but you know, for the most part, in that ballpark and his history against the Yankees, man, I mean, I already gave it. I already put an L next to his name before the game even started, to be honest with you. And I'm an optimistic Mets fan, you know, despite you know the team's recent history. But I thought it was a loss. I thought the Yankees were going to bring out the broom, to be perfectly honest with you. But Pete Alonso, man, he as I was hoping in game one, he set the tone. He had a 3-run bomb. You know, I wanted the Yankees fans to know, man, that this guy, he's real, man. This guy, he's not hyped by the Mets fans, man. This guy is real, man. He hit his 22nd home run. You know what I'm saying? Another bomb. This one off James Paxton. You know, the big trade that the Yankees did. You know, for him to be the potential ace. And you know, unfortunately for him, he's been struggling. And you know that they're gonna need him to bounce back, because the Yankees are gonna be leaning on him in the postseason. You know, they got him. They got Tanaka. You know, CC. You know, he's on his last year. You know, so obviously you need James Paxton to bounce back. And all in all, I think, what was it? I think Gomez and somebody else home, but I can't remember. But was it Frazier? I can't even remember. But in any case, you know, congratulations to the Mets. You know, they bounced back. They got a victory, and now they're one game under 500, you know, and the rest of the until next month, you know, the All-Star break, they're going to be facing good teams here on out, you know, obviously Yankee included, you know. So there's a huge test to see what the Mets are going to do, if they're going to, you know, actually be in this playoff race. But to be honest with you, Mickey Callaway needs to be fired. But that's another story for another time. But What's your thoughts on the whole Subway Series?
Yankees had that good first game, as you mentioned. And then the second game, you know, Paxton, he just didn't have it in that first inning, you know. Previously, he pitched good, but, you know, he can't be inconsistent. He's viable, you know, especially for us, you know, if we make it to the postseason. So, We need him now more than ever, since, you know, we've had these injuries with Severino out, and now Domingo Herman, he's out at the moment, so he's gonna have to come up big for us. But yeah, so you know, they split this series, and then the next two will be later this month, I think, right?
July, next month. Yeah, July 2nd and 3rd at Citi Field.
Okay, yeah, so the beginning of July, so. So, yeah, and the Yankees have their own tough stretch. They have Tampa coming in and Houston. So those are going to be big games for them as well. So, and you have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo, who might return later this month or the first week of July. So that should be big for the Yankees. And the Mets, you know, the Mets just have to stay afloat. They just have to, you know, stay around 500 for now, and then, you know, push for that wild card or the division, because right now it doesn't look like any of those teams in the National League East are running away with it. So,
I think Phillies and Braves are tied last time I checked for the division. So,
and Keuchel, I heard he's been pitching great in the minors, so he looks like he could he'll be starting back in the majors with the Braves any minute now.
Yep. He could be the X factor to catapult the Braves, you know, to another postseason berth. So
yeah.
I think Mets dropped the ball on that one, but you know, what can you do? At least Vargas is pitching better. But to be honest with you, I would trade Vargas while he's hot, because I still don't trust him. You know, I trust him more. I didn't trust him at all, but I would try to. I would see if I could trade him. You know.
Yeah.
See what you could get. But, you know, it is what it is. But shifting gears. What was I gonna say? WWE. Yeah, for the past couple of weeks, the two guys that have been carrying WWE. Is Bray Wyatt and, you know, his Firefly vignettes. And, of course, R-Truth with the 24/7 title, man. This guy's like, a five-time 24/7 title? I mean, he almost has as much titles as Charlotte has, you know, with the women titles.
Man, do you see that one where he pinned, what's his name, on the plane?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I saw that.
That's funny.
And I think it was on Raw. They were gonna try to there were, you know, there was a group of guys, EC3, Drake Maverick, and some other people were trying to, you know, pin him near the elevator, but there was no referee, so they all got stuck in the elevator. And I mean, he's finding different ways, man, to just, you know, entertain people, man. They should seriously put the title, the WWE title on this guy, or the Universal title on this dude, man. Like,
yeah, it's funny.
R-Truth, man. R-Truth is entertaining, man. Like, he should be getting these title shots, man. Instead of Baron Corbin. Like, Baron Corbin got back-to-back title opportunities. Lost it in Superstar Showdown, which I didn't watch, and then this upcoming one, Breaking Ground. That don't even sound like a wrestling event. It sound like a construction site. Breaking Ground, like, or spinoff of Breaking Bad or something. Like, oh, Breaking Ground. Or was it? No, it's Stomping Grounds, isn't it? Stomping Grounds.
Yeah,
I think it's
on the ground. Yeah.
Stomping Grounds. Sound like an inaugural stadium. Like a new stadium in baseball is being built. It's a WWE Stomping Grounds. It's so fun. Like, what is up with these names? Shoot, Great Balls of Fire sound like a better pay-per-view event than this. Like, come on, how are they coming up with these names? Stomping Ground.
Didn't a team have that for their ballpark, baseball?
What are you saying?
Or something similar.
What'd you
Didn't
say?
The baseball team have that type of name for their stadium back in the day?
What, Stomping Grounds?
Yeah, or something similar.
No, I think Stomping Grounds is just like a slang for, like, your headquarters or your home base or something.
Well, yeah, I know that, but I'm saying, like, there was a team that baseball that had a similar name to that for their stadium. I forget who.
Or maybe that I don't know.
So I'll think of it. Maybe the Dodgers back in the day, the Brooklyn Dodgers. What was the name of their
Ebbets Field?
No, that wasn't it. I'll think of it later.
Yeah, let me know when you think of it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
the Polo Grounds.
Oh yeah,
there
Polo
Grounds.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's no, wait, that's New York Giants.
Right, yeah.
New York Giants. And what you gonna call it? The Yankees played in the Polo Grounds. I don't know if the Dodgers ever played before they had Ebbets Field. I don't know if they ever played in Polo Grounds. That I'd have to research.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
And then of course the New York Mets, before Shea Stadium was built in '64, they played their first two seasons in '62 and '63 in the Polo Grounds. So,
yeah.
You know,
well, maybe WWE got the name from that. That's what it sounds like.
Maybe they didn't. Who knows? Polo Grounds. Yeah, I totally forgot about Polo Grounds.
Yep.
Oh man. But I guess that's about it. Really, I can't really think of anything else that happened in WWE.
Is there a pay per view in a couple weeks? Right.
Yeah, the Stomping Ground one.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. There's something I forgot to mention last week. Sir Winston won the, the Belmont Stakes last week. So, belated congratulations.
Congrats. I didn't even watch it, but.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it either, but, you know, there's some people who are into the, you know, horse racing, so. Congratulations to them. Yeah, I guess that's about it. You know, anything you'd like to say?
Oh yeah. Well, the David Ortiz thing. It's a good thing to hear that he's recovering from that gunshot wound that he didn't look. So good to hear that. You know, he's recovering now and he's all good. But yeah, I mean that those people that were trying to, assassinate him, you know, I hope they rot in jail.
I agreed, man. Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that. I totally forgot about that story. Yeah, I mean, I forgot to mention that story, I should say. But yeah, it's a messed up story, man. But thank God you know, David Ortiz is on the road to recovery. So, you know. So, you
comes
know,
from a Yankee fan.
Yep, coming from a Yankee fan. Who would have thought McCauley would have been wishing him best wishes? But
hey, you know, he killed that team, but I respect him, you know, as a player.
Yeah, he's a great player and, you know, a larger-than-life character. So,
definitely.
You know, praying for a speedy recovery for him and,
yep.
And, you know, best of luck with him and his, you know, his road to recovery.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Mac, as always.
Thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. We should be back on the air at its regular time next Saturday at 11. Check out my YouTube show, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, of course, check out iMac every Saturdays at 10, only on Block Talk Radio. So he's McCauley Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Ah.